Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Today we have an interesting new format we like to introduce to everybody, myth busting. And in this episode, we are going to look into some interesting, perhaps pseudoscience, will be your call, but we have some of our own strong opinions on pH water that people sell in grocery stores. Is it real? Does it really make sense to us? And we also kind of dive into some of the blue light creams that kind of claim that they block blue light from screens that you use from your day-to-day life. Pop in, check it out, and enjoy this episode. Welcome to episode 25 of the Excited State Podcast. And today we're going to talk about some myth-busting topics. So that means that we're just going to talk about some interesting products that are out there in the world that may be kind of pseudoscience-y. And I'm here joined with my hosts, Megan Newcomb and Jared Bruce. Hello, you two.
Hi.
Hey, everybody. And
the one thing I want to talk about today, I think everyone's pretty familiar with this one, is those specialty waters that people see on the shelves of the grocery stores. And they say you can revitalize yourself by having this really high pH water. And, you know, every time I've seen that, I just always wonder how this thing is actually a thing, right? Because I would think, you know, most people know about pH, but maybe that's not the case since these things exist on the shelves. So, but yeah, I just want to get everybody's opinion on what this water situation is all about. So yeah, we'll start off with Megan.
I'd like to start just kind of generally defining what we think pseudoscience is, because I feel like we're going to throw that word around a lot. So what are your, when you think pseudoscience, when you use that word, what does that mean to you guys?
Jared?
I mean, so pseudoscience to me is these claims that are made that are not based on hard, well-researched concepts and are instead marketed as buzzwords. So high pH, for instance, is something that we're going to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. There's lots out there. Homeopathy is another one that kind of comes to mind. you know, these are things that sound good on maybe in a marketing campaign if you kind of don't know what they are. And I mean, for lots of people, that's okay, right? But it's disingenuous marketing of science that's not actually science. And so that's what I would call pseudoscience.
Yep, yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I think you sort of end up exploiting people, you know, using those buzzwords, which is, you know, just kind of what capitalism does. But I think that as scientists, we can have more conversations about things like this high pH water and how it doesn't work. So let me tell you something about the human body. The human body.
Before we do into that, I think we should take a second and define what pH actually is.
Yes. And let's look at what the high pH water benefits are supposed to be. All right. Yeah. But yeah. So Jared, why don't you tell us a little bit about pH?
Yeah. Okay. So pH is one of these really important properties of aqueous solutions. So solutions in water is what we're going to be talking about. And so essentially pH is the concentration of the number of hydronium ions or protons, H+, in your aqueous solution, in your water solution. And that concentration is then plotted on a log scale because it's a really big number. And so it's much easier for us to deal with big numbers on a logarithmic scale. And so when you take the log, the negative log of the concentration of protons in your solution, you end up getting this really simple number called pH. And that pH scale goes from 1, acidic, to 14, which is really basic. And when we talk about alkaline, alkaline solutions are more basic rather than more acidic. So we can think about something like a lemon being very acidic, right? Whereas you could think of something like lye, which is very basic. So
or bleach.
Or bleach.
Sure. Which is very basic.
Is that the same thing when you call someone a lemon?
That they're sour?
Yeah.
No, I think that comes from like the used car dealership, like they're a dud.
Yeah.
Isn't that what that means?
It's not that they're acidic.
Or if you really like lemons, maybe it's a compliment. Like, I like lemons, you know, I wouldn't still call somebody that.
You
Burn, I love you. Okay. Anyways. Then to sort of calibrate you even more to pH. So Jared mentioned that high pH stuff includes things like bleach, pH roughly 12, baking soda, pH 9. And then the water that we drink every day is pH 7. And then things that are more acidic include things like, yes, lemons, or your gastric acid is super low pH, very acidic, about 1. So the things that we encounter in our life every day, we're always ingesting things that have different pHs. And some of the claims of the alkaline water is that it can help to combat acidification in your blood. Like it stops your blood from becoming too acidic. And fans of alkaline water have said that, like, because water has a low pH, or because we eat things with low pH, it can cause a lot of health problems. Apparently alkaline water reduces acid in your bloodstream and allows your metabolism to improve. It slows aging, reduces bone loss. All right. So these are some of the claims.
So Megan, can you, I filled us in on like the basics of the fundamentals of the chemistry. Can you fill us in on the basics and fundamentals of, you know, the biochemistry and the human body aspect of this whole thing?
So let me tell you something about the human body. The human body
sit down
regulates pH very carefully. And in the context of your blood, which is where a lot of these claims seem to be motivated, blood pH is very tightly controlled biochemically through a buffer system. So if you haven't worked with buffers in a laboratory, a buffer is a set of compounds that is meant to reduce drastic changes in pH. So Jared, you mentioned some of the ions that are responsible for influencing pH. So H plus and OH minus. And so a buffer system is meant to combat changes in pH by picking up those OH minuses and those H pluses out of solution so that the pH doesn't drastically change. So in your blood, you have a carbonic acid buffering system. So that's H2CO3 is carbonic acid, and then a bicarbonate anion, which is HCO3 minus, and that helps temper any changes to pH. And that keeps your blood at a really healthy level between pH 7.35 and 7.45. It is possible.
What is that range again? What's that range again for people?
7.35 and 7.45 is a healthy range. And your body is really pretty good about doing that. I'm sure there are problems like health issues that can lead to issues with blood pH. I'm not familiar with them, honestly, but your body has a way of maintaining your blood pH. And so when you drink that alkaline water, your body's just going to, you know, convert it, like just going to regulate pH and bring it back to its set point.
Yeah. And from my understanding too, these waters are not actually basic, right? It's just like these numbers that they just put on these bottles, and you can't sell basic water and have people drink that. It's just like absurd, right?
I mean, have we pH tested them? Should we take them to our lab?
Maybe I think
this should be a follow-up experiment.
Yeah, I've seen people test a series of them, and they're all just around 7-ish.
No way.
Yeah, it's actually quite hilarious. But yeah, there's no way anyone can sell water that's like that basic. I mean, it's just, you can't really call it water at that point, but it's very bizarre. I mean, really, the only differences in water you should be looking for is the taste, right? Some people have different palates for water. Like, oh, I want something, you know, saltier, or want a little bit more minerally taste. But yeah, it's all over the place. You know, it's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have like acid in your stomach that's going to neutralize this alkaline pH. What this will influence is the pH of your urine, because your body is also taking out things that it doesn't need. It's regulating pH partially that way. So thanks to your kidneys, the things that you're taking in that your body doesn't need are just going to be flushed right out.
I think that's the biggest thing is, like, you know, you're taking slight. So let's give them the point that they might be a little bit alkaline. Let's give them that. But mm-hmm. if you put an alkaline solution in the strong acid, you know what happens? That tends to make it a strong acid. Like, that's, you know, the benefits that you have from that, if there are any, like, if we're going to give them that point, go away once it hits your stomach acid. It's gone. So yeah, so that's kind of a problem too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's important in general to kind of combat this, you know, again, pseudoscience. I mean, pseudoscience, I think that's not even the best way to say it. It's just fake science. This is not real, right? Yeah. It's people who, you know, like you said, Jared, who just use buzzwordy things that sound smart, right? Mm-hmm. And people generally think acid is bad. And, you know, if you say like, oh, we know acid is generally bad, so we want to get rid of acid, so this is one way to do it. And it's just kind of like fear mongering a little bit, like, oh, you know, we can save you or we can help you by you purchasing this product. And in general, I mean, marketing is just half lying, really. I mean, it's just deceptive, right? That's what advertising is, right? You can lose weight, you know, in a week if you eat this thing. Like, no, that's not actually completely true. And it's important for the consumer to make sure that you have a careful eye in understanding what these claims are, right? Does it make sense in your intuition? Sometimes it's not good to kind of trust things on, you know, on the label all the time. You just want to make sure you check with yourself. Okay, does this make sense? Does this make sense with my gen chem I took in high school? Sounds kind of weird. Maybe I should look into it. So yeah, it's important to kind of have that, you know, extra level of safety for yourself. Just make sure does this make sense? And if that passes a couple of checks, then should generally be okay. And of course we have the FDA to help us to kind of, you know, prevent some, not all, some bad products kind of going on the shelves like that. So, but in general, yeah, that's important to kind of be wary of what you got mm-hmm. in front of you and what you take and what you drink and what you believe is actually helping you.
And with something as widespread as this alkaline water, a quick Google search will combat those claims. And of course mm-hmm. it depends what resources folks want to use and what they trust. But I agree.
At the end of the day, you trust your friendly neighborhood chemists who won't steer you wrong.
You know, I think there are also scientists who want to use pseudoscience just to make money, right? It's about what their ethics are and, you know, what their motivations are. But, you know, we're nice.
Mm-hmm.
We try our best.
Anything else on that topic?
Like, question these things, right? Like, to me, when I see that, I get a queasy feeling, right? It's like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make any sense. And why is this 20% more than anything else? You know, because of this claim. So that I think if you're going to be skeptical about things, that's definitely one thing to be, you know, when you're purchasing these things, trying to be mindful of when somebody makes a really bold claim about this stuff. I think that's that's the time to be the most skeptical of these claims in a marketing campaign or whatever, you know. So just, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, people have known about alkaline water for, entire humanity. And to make a claim that now we know about alkaline water that is beneficial for you is kind of, you know, feels absurd, right? But, you know, it sells, right? And that's the thing about these type of marketing campaigns is that it's a harmless type of marketing, because if you drink this water, it's just water. But the thing is that to have this feeling of is helping you is wrong, right? And so it's important to kind of have this understanding that, yeah, you can buy this stuff if you want, but don't expect the results that these people are claiming. Yeah, it's like the kind of the gap of what the marketing people can do. And it's not there to, if you buy this product, it's not going to hurt you, right? But it's just going to not deliver the results.
Amen. Yeah. Next one.
Yeah, yeah. And this other kind of along the lines with more, I have to hold my words back, garbage products.
That was you holding your words back?
Wow. That's pretty good.
This one thing that's been kind of trending, you know, I think more kind of this year and last year too, is this facial cream that helps reflect blue light. And there's a lot of different types of brands out there that are marketed now. But the claim generally is that since so many of us are now sitting in front of computer screens, whether it may have been pandemic or just, you know, different positions require people to sit in front of their office computers for so long, some companies are selling this cream claiming that, well, you can apply this cream on your face and it will help reflect any blue light, which would be harmful for your skin. So it kind of helps reduce aging effects and whatnot. But to me, that's kind of, to me, that's kind of suspect too, because like, yeah, I can understand that some lights can be harmful, right? But this kind of felt kind of weird to me. How can this cream really help you prevent this aging? So I guess I'll just throw this over to you two. So Jared, what do you think about this claim of blocking blue light from screens? Do you think that works for people?
Okay, so I guess maybe a good way to tackle this is basically what is my thought process? So, okay, I hear one of these two claims. I hear whether it's alkaline water or blue light, right? The first thing I'm going to do with the blue light one is try to find out what is wrong with blue light in the first place. Does it actually do anything? Okay. That would be the first claim to try to look at. The second thing would be, okay, their other claim is that this is coming off of computer screens and whatever else that you may be exposed to. How much of the light from your computer screen is then being emitted as this blue light? That would be the next part that I would look into, right? And then third would be, how are you going to block that blue light with a cream? What are the things that you're putting into it that are going to absorb that light? So for instance, you know, I have some sunscreen over here. Often what they'll do is they'll put different molecules, or they'll use, you know, TiO2, for instance. Those are known to block ultraviolet lights. That's what it's supposed to do, right? So those are valid claims. So those are the three things that when I hear something like this, I will ask myself immediately. It's like, okay, you made this claim that takes advantage of the situation that's going on these days that people might be nervous about or whatever, but how applicable is it? And has it been tested? So I would say on the first part, you know, blue light is no, from my understanding anyways, there's no real concern about blue light in terms of your skin. I'm not sure about your eyes. That may be a different aspect of it.
Yeah, like a topical cream for your eyes. That'd be great. Anyways.
Yeah. So,
you know, I do see that it can cause damage to your skin. Yeah. I think the level of damage that happens from blue light from your screen compared to damage from sunlight is minor. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So then that would be the next part of that, right? It's like, okay, so how much is actually emitted from a screen? Mm-hmm. And then if you're, you know, I have a nice big window here and I will often just like, you know, hang out in the sunshine. How much is that compared to that, you know, or the blue or the lights that are in my apartment or whatever? Like how much, what is the relative amount of that compared to any sort of possible damage?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this is a great example of actual pseudoscience, right? It is true that certain wavelengths of light can damage your skin, especially UV light. It's, you know, important to take care of your skin, especially if you're outside, because the sun is quite intense, right? But this kind of goes into the realm of, well, maybe, you know, light from your screen could be similar to going outside. And that's definitely not true, right? It's not like you're staring at the sun when you're looking at your computer screen. And the intensity profile is definitely different, right? You don't want to be irradiated with this light from your screen when you're working on it with your stuff every day. And so, yeah, like you said, Jared, it's important to kind of walk through the different pieces of, or just ask the right questions, right? What is the light that is harming me? Is it negligible? If I use this, is it just actually going to block blue light? Is it actually going to do it even if there is blue light? I think that's an also important question. So there's a lot of various questions to ask, but from my understanding, from reading through some articles online, it's kind of negligible in the end. It's just really just basically soap or just any, you know, facial cream. So, but yeah, what do you think about that, Megan?
Yeah, I think that the amount of damage that can happen from blue light versus sunlight is very small, and that I would be really skeptical of components of the creams that could actually effectively block this light, especially given that it's sort of an emerging field.
I think that's why calling it a pseudoscience is like, actually, that is pseudoscience, because they make these claims, but they don't back up the claims with actual research, right? It's so that kind of should be your first red flag. If they don't provide the data, then what's the point, right? If they just say things. And so that's why that's kind of dangerous, in the sense that people can make claims on the very edge of rationality, right? And because it's like kind of half truths, it almost sounds like it's real. So it's always best to double check and make sure these things are actually affecting you. I mean, people have been using screens for, I don't know, a very long time now, and watching TVs, screens. It's not like the population aged dramatically ever since TV was invented.
Right.
So it's important to think about these things in general. So
also, there are dermatology methods that utilize blue light in beneficial ways for the skin. I mean, mind you, the duration of application is different, the intensity is different. And in an article I was reading that interviewed a bunch of different dermatologists, none of them were concerned about long-term impact of digital screens having problems on your skin, just because, yeah, there's no well-established reason to protect yourself from it. Yeah, especially compared to sun damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these are just like LED lights or LED or OLEDs, right? They're not really intense lights. They're just bright, but not intense.
Mm-hmm. Also, aging is a normal and natural thing. So if you are doing things in your life that are going to age you, then congratulations, you are a human being.
Yep. It's okay to age.
Yeah, it's the way it goes.
Yeah. I should be more concerned about all the solvent vapors I work with.
Yeah. And, you know, alcohol damaging our bodies.
Yeah.
Somebody, right? But
just anybody, really.
In general, no one in this trio.
I've been drinking less.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And my skin looks so good.
Yeah, it looks great.
Thanks.
I cannot say the same for me. That's just pseudoscience, Megan.
That's, I don't know, right? And it's not a good experiment. Here's the thing. It's not a good experiment. I didn't take before and after pictures. It's merely my own feelings about my skin. There's a lot of other variables going on in my life. Mm-hmm. So I would never turn around and say, oh yeah, if I stopped drinking alcohol, if that's what did this. Or I found the same thing when I started using the face creams and the beauty products that are produced by my company. So my company makes products for the face that are like vegan alternatives. And then my company also makes like vegan food products. Mm-hmm. So I started using their beauty products and I noticed a difference over time. Like my skin looked better, but it wasn't a good experiment. The best experiment would have been to treat only half of my face, take before and after pictures. Right. And I was kicking myself. I was like, that's what I should have done. Yeah. So it would be unfair for me to claim, oh yeah, this is why I'm looking better. And in reality, what we have done is we have tested our products in real experiments through like contractors who like do these sorts of comparisons that allow you to make claims that are substantiated. So we can say, oh, if you use this, it's going to help with this by this percent because they did a whole study, unlike the alkaline water where it's like, it'll boost your metabolism, whatever. I don't think that there are studies because I tried to look it up and I couldn't find any.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Tangent.
What a world we live in. But yeah.
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 If there are other topics that you're curious about or you want us to gently tear apart or not gently tear apart, let us know. Play with.
Yeah.
Poke with. Okay. Shall we bring this home?
Yeah.
All right.
Good to me.
Well, thanks everyone for checking in on us, listening to our episode. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Excited State Pod. And if you have questions, comments that you would like us to cover, be sure to send us an email at excitedstatepod@gmail.com. And finally, we'd like to thank Emilia Mejia for the outro and intro music. Until next time, have a nice week. Bye-bye.